There are those who only turkey hunt when they don't draw their spring bear tag. And then there are those who are absolutely obsessed, love turkeys, turkey hunting, all the ins and outs of chasing those long beards. Salem local Parker is one of those. I met Parker last summer when he came to one of our hunting and fishing club free events. He went trap shooting with us. Since then, we've sparked up a conversation. Parker reached out to me after his opening weekend hunt with some pretty cool news of how he not only filled two of his tags in the same weekend, but one of those was on a turkey with a leg band that has a pretty cool story. In the spirit of spring turkey season, I wanted to call up Parker and give him a chance to share his story on the podcast because it's pretty cool. And maybe for those of us who are out there looking for things with feathers rather than things with fur, it'll inspire us to keep at it because season is not even halfway over yet. And for those of you who are chasing bears, I hope that you have a wonderful time in the woods as well. And I'll be joining you one of these springs. But for me this year, it's all about turkeys. So listen in to Parker's story. It's pretty cool. You're going to want to listen to it. Here we go.
So I got off of work pretty early that day, and that was just out of pure luck. And then I ran down to the spot that I was planning on hunting, and I had been in there, I want to say 2 weeks before opening day, I should say. I did a little bit of scouting. I think I hiked like 9 miles, kind of got up on some ridges and just check some stuff out that I hadn't seen. I am pretty familiar with that area because I hunted it super hard the year before. And to be honest, I got my butt kicked pretty hard back in there. But I was running into birds pretty consistently and I just couldn't seem to get them killed. It's not like your typical Western Oregon turkey hunting where it's fields or, you know, trying to call birds off of fields into thicker stuff. It's south, so it's more oaks and rolling hills and that type of thing. It can be hard sometimes to get a good setup to kill a bird, and that was my struggle last year. And so this year I really wanted to focus on trying to be hidden that opening morning and being patient. And so got off of work, jammed down there. There was a couple trucks in the lot. It's hard to tell what they were up to, but I didn't really pay them any mind. Drove past them and then kind of dumped into my spot and threw on the bino harness and ran back in there with a call because the forecast said that it was going to start raining about 5 o'clock. So I had about an hour and a half, and I knew once that rain started, it was going to be pretty hard to roost any birds. They were just going to shut up. And so I had like a perfect window of sun where the clouds had broke. It was, you know, like a good turkey hunting spring day. And I got back into where I wanted to hunt and I just shot straight up the hill and got as high as I could and just sat down and listened. It's a piece of the public that borders onto some private. And so I know that the birds love the private, obviously. That's pretty common. But I was more so interested to see if there was any birds that were roosted on the public, because I figured that if they're going to be sleeping on the public, they haven't been shot at yet, more than likely, if it's a tom, he's going to be headed to the private. And so I was sitting up there, and I probably sat up there a good 45 minutes. Clouds started to get dark. I was like, okay, it's going to start raining here soon. And I heard one gobble on the public, and it was down in this little, I wouldn't necessarily call it a draw, but a depression between the little ridge that I was sitting on and then the next little ridge. And it was just oaks growing up through there. And I knew from walking in there in the past that there was a little creek that ran down through there. And I was like, okay, there's a bird right there. All good. Got what I needed to get figured out. So I kind of made a loop around not to get too close to that little draw. I didn't want to mess with him if he was in there, and got down right up against the fence line that borders the private and the public. And I built a little stick blind. I just cut a couple evergreen trees and stuck them in the mud. Same thing I would do if I was duck hunting, but just a little hide somewhere I could sit up against a tree and be covered from the private and then also from the public side. And I figured that if I sat right there, there was a hole in the fence right there. So if I was able to call them off, it would at least give them an easy way to get to me so they wouldn't hang up on the fence. And then you got to figure that any bird coming off the public to the private knows about that hole. So I was set up about 20 yards from that, so I could kill anything that came through there. And then if I had to, I could swing. And there was a trail that kind of looped around. You know, my max is 40 with my 20 gauge. And so I had that set up and I was like, okay, we're good. I'm getting out of here. And as I'm walking out, it starts to rain and it just dumps. It pours all night. And I'm sleeping in the back of my truck, whatever, you know, getting just pounded by the rain. It sounds like hail's falling on my truck. And I'm like, oh man, I don't even know if I really want to go hunting tomorrow. But whatever, alarm comes at 4. I hop out of bed, get dressed, and the rain had kind of broke. So it was kind of on and off as I'm walking in. And I get back there and I get sat down and the rain breaks. Must have broke, you know, really held off from 6 to about 7. You couldn't have asked for it to be not raining, you know, at the perfect time. And about 20 minutes, 25 minutes after it broke, 3 gobblers start going crazy off the roost. And those birds are on the private. And so they start going. I don't hear any hens on the private, so I start calling. And usually if I'm hunting birds on the roost, I kind of do a lighter workup. You know, I'm not just going to hit them with a 6-note yelp right off the bat. I figure it's really hard for you to identify somebody whispering when they're far away. But if you heard your best friend or your wife talk 20 yards away, you'd be able to tell by the cadence of the voice, by the sound of her voice, right? You would be able to tell. Well, you got to think it's the same thing for those gobblers. They've been hearing those hens for who knows how long. So start real muffled and quiet and then kind of work my way up. And then right before I start to get real loud, I'll do a fly down. So I carry a turkey wing with me and I'll beat that thing, you know, make it sound like a turkey coming out of a tree. And then I just shut up. I stop calling after that. Those toms hit the ground and they're the ones that are on the private are coming. They're cutting distance. They were probably 150 yards from me. You know, we're getting 630, almost 640 at this point. So I'm like, oh shoot, you know, I might get these 3 toms to come off of this private and come give me a look. And I hear that bird that I had roosted the night before hammer. It was the first time he had gobbled all morning, and he was on the ground. You could tell he wasn't up in a tree. Sounded like he was about in the middle of that timber patch in that little draw. And so I'm facing towards the fence and I'm like, oh shoot, that bird's way closer than these 3 toms. And I turn myself a little bit so that I can look down into the timber and get a reasonable shot, or if I have to, I can swing back either way. I'm sitting there, the toms on the private are gobbling and they still have my attention. So I'm looking over my shoulder and the next thing you know, I kind of turn my head a little bit and I look out and that turkey's coming down the edge of that timber. So he swung from the middle. He must have been sleeping in there somewhere, hit the ground and came plumb out to the edge of it. And he's working his way down the edge of the timber line. You know, it's kind of the oh shoot moment, right? I mean, I'm not even an hour into legal on opening day. I got this turkey baron down on top of me. He's gobbling in my face practically. And every time they do that, they feel like they are closer than they are, right? So I'm trying my best to not jump the gun and try to swing on him too quick and let him get in pretty close. So I let him keep coming. And of course, this feels like a 10-minute stretch, but really it's 45 seconds or whatever. This bird was on a line. He wasn't going to stop. Finally, I'm like, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to kill this turkey. So I hit him with a little call. He sticks his head straight up in the air and I swing my shotgun on him and dump him. I ranged him. He was at like 29 yards when I killed him. He didn't even flop. And that was my first day. I was done.
Man, what a cool experience. Those are the kind of opening mornings that we all dream about. Filling that first tag 45 minutes into the day. But season wasn't over for Parker. You know, in the waterfowl world, we talk a lot about bands. They're kind of a sought-after thing, but not so much in the turkey world. They're still super rare and cool and definitely notable, but people just don't talk about them as much because they are even more rare on turkeys than they are on ducks and geese. That's why this story stands out and is super cool. Parker, how long was it before you went back out into the turkey field and filled your second tag?
It was the next day. I got out of there with that turkey I killed on opening day and piddled around for the rest of the day, went and got breakfast. And actually, I ran into a couple of turkey hunters from Georgia that had killed two toms that morning. And so struck up a conversation with them and spent some time talking to them, which helped speed up the day. But really spent a lot of the time in the truck reading my Bible because it was raining so much, and just waited. And I was going to go into the same spot again because I knew there was more birds in there. And the next day, get up same time, about 4:30, whatever, do my thing, walk in there, and I sit in the same spot I killed that last bird. Do pretty much the same thing. I'm calling to the ones that are on private, but that day there was a hen on private. And so about 8 o'clock, I was like, I'm not going to, you know, they stopped gobbling. They had found that hen and they were doing their thing. So I kind of beat feet and did a big loop back to the truck, ran into a couple turkeys on that loop, and they were out in the open. It just, they're hard to kill when they're out in the open. And so got back to the truck, sat down, ate a sandwich, and kind of was thinking about it. I was like, I could save these tags, whatever. I get in my head sometimes about going back in and hunting, and I'm like, I might as well. I already took the time off of work. I might as well. So I go back in there. I'm not too far into the hike that I wanted to do. There's a point that comes down, real steep point. It doesn't bench on the top. It's pretty sheer on both sides. And it came down and it made two kind of divots on either side. And so they both had water running down into them, and they both of those drainages ran into a little creek that was at the bottom. And I had seen a lot of turkeys working up from the second drainage on the far side of that point. I'm doing some light calling and I hear a hen on the other side of that point. And I'm like, okay, there's turkeys over there. I didn't know if there was a tom or not. So I loop down the low side because I figure if I'm gonna get them to come, they're gonna come down on me so that they can see more. And I kind of peek my head around this big bush and I see the red head of that tom. And I'm like, okay, luckily he didn't see me. I don't know how he didn't see me, but I got lucky. And I kind of back up a little bit and set up to where if he swings around close, I can kill him. So I start calling and he doesn't make any noise. They're coming, or I think they are, I don't know. I'm just sitting there. It's better than trying to run at them. It usually doesn't work that way. And I can't really remember how long I sat there, but the whole group swings wide. This is where I made a bad sporting decision. I was just so laser focused on that tom. I should have ranged before I, started calling to figure out my distances and make sure I was in the clear. But I pull up on that tom. He's out of my range. And at the time, I didn't really realize it. And there's a hen standing next to him, which I couldn't see because I've got a red dot on my gun. And so I've kind of got him covered up, focused on him, and I can't see that hen. And I shoot and dump the hen. Well, I'm like, okay, I just ruined a good thing, right? I killed a turkey the day before. I ended up killing this hen. I'm going to have to get in contact with ODFW and do the right thing here. And he's gone. There was a bunch of other hens. It was just a mess once I shot, birds flying everywhere, hens down. She flops into the creek. I'm like, oh, shoot. So I'm all over the place and I run down there to go grab her and she's laying in that little creek and I'm looking down on her and I'm like, gosh, that thing looks odd. The fan was just, it just looked odd. She had a lot of red on her head and I've killed hens in the fall. So she just looked strange. And I picked her up and I was like, oh man, I see a 5-inch beard. And I'm like, okay, thank the Lord. I just got super lucky, right? I can take this as a learning experience without breaking any rules and, be more ethical of a sportsman. And then I look at her foot and she's got a ODFW band on her foot. And that's when really all heck broke loose, because at that point I was like the lowest of low to the highest of high. I've killed a couple banded pigeons and I've killed a banded duck, but that was the first time, you know, I had never imagined I'd ever kill a banded turkey in my entire life. So it was pretty wild. And I ended up, you know, sitting there for a good 30 minutes and hung out with her and smoked a cigar. And I don't even really know what to say. I'm still pretty shocked about it. Sometimes you're like, man, I can kill that turkey, but 5 yards in the realm of shooting number nines TSS, the pattern gets bigger and it only takes one BB to kill a bird. Right. Yeah. And you say that to yourself to try to give yourself an excuse to shoot further, but it's like that one BB can land where you don't want it to. And that's what happened to me. And I'm just super thankful that it all worked out. I made the phone call to ODFW and I gave him the band number. And the lady on the phone was like, we're going to send you an email. So I got an email 3 days after with the information. And the hen, the bearded hen, was a problem turkey that they deemed as a nuisance. And they caught her and they let her go about 42 miles away from where I ended up killing her. They put her in the Cascades. And I don't think she really much cared for it because she plumb walked back to where she came from.
Dude, one of the things when you told me about,
man, talk about emotional highs and lows. Parker, thank you so much for your story, for being humble about the situation and willing to share it with us. And I'm glad that you were saved by the beard in this situation. So maybe all of us can take that into consideration for the rest of our season to watch where your shot's going. And to the listener, make sure to reach out, let us know if you've ever gotten a banded turkey, and we'd like to hear the story about where that turkey came from. 42 miles back home, man, that bird did not want to stay up in the Cascades. Thanks again, Parker, for your time and sharing this story. I hope that everyone who listens got some enjoyment out of it. I'm sure they did. This has been the Oregon First Hunting and Fishing Podcast. Thank you for listening.